जय राधव जय कुंज बिहारी। जनपाला जय गिरे वरदारी जय गिरे वरदारी। जय वीर वरधारी जय वीर वरधारी। यशोदानन्दन जय ब्रज जन रंजन जय यशोदानन्दन जय ब्रज जन रंजन जय ब्रज जन रंजन। चारे जय कुंज बिहारे जय जय मतिरवन चारे जय कुंज बिहारे जय हरे सयो रमाधव सयो कुंजति हरे सयो रमाधव। किसान बाला जय गिरे वरधारी जय गिरे वरधारी। यशोदानन्दन जय ब्रज जन रंजन जय ब्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीरवन चारी जय कुंज बिहारे जय हरे। Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Jai Kunja Vihari, Jaya Om Vishnu Paramahansa Parivraj Acharya Sutra Shata Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya Om Vishnu Paramahansa Parivraj Acharya Sutra Shata Shishina Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Vanta Korti Vaishnava Vinda Ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Vansika Ho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Siva Savi Gaura Bhakta Vinda Ki Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shri Nukunda Radha Kunda Giri Gopal Dham Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Shri Jagannapuri Purukshata Nakshata Dham Ki Gangamaya Ki Yamunamaya Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Shri Mati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Shri Advaita Bhakta Vinda Ki All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chavanarotamam Devi Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Divayet. Revelation of Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, The Resident of Jambu Dweep Offer Prayers. Text 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Akuparaya सर्वशब्द बहुन विशेषणायाम पलक्षितस्तनाय नमो वर्षमाने नमो भूमे नमो नमो वस्तनया नमस्ते. Word by word. Om. Om. Om my Lord. Om. Namaha. Respectful obeisances. Bhagavate. And to you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Akuparaya. In the form of a tortoise. Sarva Satvaguna Visheshanaya, whose form consists of Shuddha Sattva, transcendental goodness, Anupalakshita Sthanaya, and to you, whose position is not discernible. Namaha, my respectful obeisances, Varshmani, and to you who, although the oldest, are unaffected by time. Namaha, my respectful obeisances, Bhumi, to the great one who can go everywhere. Nama Namaha, repeated obeisances, Avastanaya, the shelter of everything. Namaha, respectful obeisances, Te, unto you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O my Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who have assumed the form of a tortoise. You are the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, and being entirely untinged by matter, you are perfectly situated in pure goodness. You move here and there in the water, but no one can discern your position. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Because of your transcendental position, you are not limited by past, present, and future. You are present everywhere as the shelter of all things. And therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita it is said, Koloka eva nivasati akilatma bhuta. The Lord always remains in Koloka, the topmost planet in the spiritual world. At the same time, He is all-pervading. This paradox is only possible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of all opulences. The Lord's all-pervasiveness is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, where Krishna states, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridi desa junati stati. Quote, the Supreme Lord is seated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. Unquote. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Lord says, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto Matak smriti jnanam apohanam cha. Quote, I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Unquote. Therefore, although the Lord is present everywhere, He cannot be seen with ordinary eyes. As Aryana says, the Lord is anupalakshita sthana. No one can locate Him. This is the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Anati Mirandasya Jnanam Jana Shlokaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukham Karoti Bhachalam Pangulam Gayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Panchakalpataro Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vya Evacha पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। गुड मॉर्निंग एवरीवन, वेलकम टू श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास। So here we are appreciating the prayers of Ariana, who is a resident of Hiranmaya Varsha. Sukadeva Goswami has been describing the eight Varshas in the that we don't really know. I myself a little bit confused, like yesterday we were talking if these places are actually where are located and if these Varshas are the confusion I have is if the Varshas are part of the planet Earth or are part of the universe, heavenly realms, or are part of the lower heavenly realms. And as far as according to Druta Karma Prabhu, these Varshas can be understood in different ways. But one way is to that in the Bhagavatam itself is explained in the previous chapter, is that these Varshas are the heavenly planet realms. It's part of the, it's a subtle worlds in the planet Earth. And another way to understand it is that it's a description of the heavenly realms. But anyway, I'm not going to go deep in that because I don't know much, but the most important point here in these prayers is that the Lord is worshipped everywhere, not only in the spiritual world, but also in the material world. And in this specific prayer, Ariyama, who is Krishna said that he is among the ancestors, he's Ariyama, and also Ariyama, he plays the role of Yamaraj when Krishna is in the earth for 100 years, because Vidura was actually Yamaraj who was taking a role in Krishna Lila. So Ariyama is praying, is appreciating the omnipresent aspect of the Lord, how he is present in this cosmic manifestation, and at the same time he is in his own abode. So Prabhupada is quoting the Brahma Sanhita to explain Gavaloka Eva Nivasati Kilatma Buddha, that Krishna, he's residing in his original planet, in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. But at the same time, he is present in all over the material universe without without leaving Goloka Vrindavan. He's still there as the supreme enjoyer without any burden of the creation of what is going on in the material world. He's just enjoying there, playing his eternal form of Srimad Sundar, and in his eternal role of being the supreme enjoyer. Meanwhile, in the material world, he's showing his love by expanding himself in innumerable manifestations to reach this small amount of living entities called conditioned souls, who are wandering in this universe because they have Bahir Mukha, they have rejected Krishna. They have become inimical to Krishna, and therefore there is no place for them in that Goloka Vrindavan or any other spiritual planet where Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So those who cannot live with that personality, they have to come to this material world and have the experience of trying to be the enjoyer, and finally realized that this is an artificial position, trying to be the supreme attractive and the supreme shelter for others, etc. There are many stories and the history of the world itself shows the person rising to emerging as great leaders and very powerful, and then being smashed by time or by other circumstances, and then being forgot through history. We only remember from almost 5,000 years. We have history, and then everything is prehistory. So there is no. So everyone in every living entity who has rejected Krishna and is trying to occupy that position can do it only for some time in an artificial way, with a lot of pain. Even if personalities like Indra, who are beyond the reach of imagination of us, of power, because we only know maybe people like Obama, the president, who may be powerful for us, but Indra is the king of heaven, and even he is not really enjoying his position as a king of heaven. Like when Narada Muni, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, explained that Narada Muni was told that Indra was a great devotee. He was the devotee who was getting most of the mercy of the Lord, the recipient of the mercy of the Lord. So he went to talk to him and glorify him as a great devotee. But Indra humbled himself, and he replied that actually I am not I am not receiving the mercy of the Lord. And he started explaining that although Narada Muni was saying, because you are the king, everyone obeys you, and you are the king of heaven, he was explaining all the faults that are coming from that position, how he's always fearful of losing his position as king of heaven, and sometimes he is sending apsaras, or celestial prostitutes, to deviate great yogis who may become so powerful that they will occupy the position of Indra. So he's always in anxiety and trying to maintain that somehow artificial position of being a leader and a shelter for others. And in a very humble way, he also explained that how he even defied Krishna, although that's a lila. But not even after Krishna instructs all the residents of Vrindavan to stop the sacrifice of offerings to Indra and instead giving to Govardhan, Indra became very upset because he thought it was respectful to him. And after that he learned the lesson and he understood that Krishna is a great personality, but even though, because his position of being a leader is so confusing sometimes, later on even he again rejected Krishna. When Krishna went to Indra's kingdom to look for a Parijata flower to Satyabhama, so Indra was thinking that even Krishna was he was attached to ladies now, because although he is God, but then he became very attached to his young pastimes, and so he even rejected to give the, he didn't want to give the Parijata flower And then he was chastised again. And he understood the position of Krishna. So he's saying, I cannot be a great devotee, the recipient of the mercy of the Lord. He's just chastised me sometimes. So even if we have a great position like Indra or even Brahma, even Lord Brahma is not very happy and uncomfortable in that position. Actually, they are doing that for service. They are occupying that position. But most of the conditioned souls are trying to get similar positions of being the supreme enjoyers. It's not possible. And the only way they can feel we can feel that we have some position of superiority in this world is through Krishna. Krishna himself, he keeps the smriti, the remembrance, he gives the knowledge. Sarvasya chaham kridisa nivishto. He's expanded as Paramatma all over the creation in every living entity. And he is giving the forgetfulness so living entities can somehow feel superior under illusion, under forgetfulness of their position, infinitesimal position as servants. So in that way, they also are unaware that Krishna is watching them, or we are unaware, not realizing that he is all over the creation. Although he is in Goloka, he is expanding himself in his avyakta murtina, his unmanifested form. And he's watching all these living entities, like us, struggling to establish some position of superiority. How do you feel about having a camera here in the temple? We have a camera in different parts of the temple, so anytime we are like going to the temple morning time, there is a camera watching us. So behind that there are other devotees, some devotees who can go and check what's going on in the temple. Not for security reason, but how do you feel about that? Very Krishna conscious. Yeah, I think you said it in the right way. Another thought? Like, you feel good? Yes. Cool. Nobody feels intimidated? if you want, for example, to take some dolphins or another sweets, you will just chatter, isn't it? You may feel uncomfortable if you're taking some special present for you. Upstairs, you're not supposed to take upstairs, but if you take, you have to sky. So, some people complain nowadays that we are being watched by the government all over. If you enter a store, there is a sign which says, smile, that we are watching you. So now we are also having in the temple, and now, right now, we are being broadcasting. So Siddhartha Prabhu, he said that that makes him more Krishna consciousness. And I guess because we can relate that with Paramatma. The reality that we are being filmed all the time. Wherever we go, there is a camera watching us. And they are more sophisticated than the ones that we can get now. We cannot even see it. We cannot locate the presence of the Lord. He's called Anupalakshita. So no one can locate him. So we can locate the cameras here where they are watching, but we cannot locate the Supreme Lord who is watching us all over through his different energies. So there is not any place, even in the material universe, that we can hide. There is no place in the earth, there is no place in the temple.
where we can hide from Krishna, we can hide from human beings and others. So that awareness of being watched by someone else create different feelings. Some may feel like police. The presence of police for some people brings a kind of security of shelter. So police is coming, don't worry. When that something is, we hear sounds and someone wants to rob us or enter our house, or we're walking in the streets alone and it's dark and we see a police man, then we think, oh, we're okay, there is police here. Some places, you can think like that. So some places I know that people are afraid of police even, but in a general terms, some people feel comfortable, and those who want to do some mischief, they feel totally uncomfortable. Police is here, they cannot do anything, so they are trying to look for another place to perform their acts. So in the same way, to feel the presence of the Lord all over the creation can be uplifting or can be a reason for lamentation. Therefore, there are many even people who could say, in order to enjoy sense gratification in an unrestricted way, be karmic way, they will create different philosophies to explain that there is no God. So they can tell people and promote their ideas. These are called naradamas. They promote social planification for the society and philosophies, so that people can understand that the goal of life is to enjoy these senses and body, etc., in an unrestricted way. Nobody can stop you, or nobody should say what is good for you, what is bad for you in your life. And in order to establish that, they have to establish that nobody is watching you. You can do whatever you want. And because of that, for the soul, it's natural to feel in this way, that the presence of someone else is, someone is always watching us. It's in our history. So therefore, we always want to make sure that we are alone. If you want to do something like, no, if you want to kill someone, you will look everywhere and make sure nobody is watching you. And if you are a religious person, you are in trouble. And you may even, like, there are some people who even pray the Lord, like, please allow me to, even though they want to rob or they want to kill someone, if they have some religions still, they will ask for forgiveness. Forgive me for doing that, but I cannot restrain myself. Then they will repent. But in our society, it's more spread the idea that there is no God, and so we can do everything. This is Krishna. We are learning living in a temple of worshiping the deity, that the Lord is, the presence of the Lord is, we can feel it in the temple room, in the temple, because the deity is there. And if we have a deity in our home, we can understand that the Lord is there. But most, so in the temple, our behavior is different. We are more reverential, and we don't spin our legs during class because we say, no, this is the temple room. We take off the shoes. There are many rules and regulations that help us to understand that this is a special place, because it's the place of the Lord. However, outside the temple room, we become more casual. And it's more difficult to understand that Krishna is there. Is it a realization of the topmost devotees that they can see the presence of the Lord everywhere? For the Kanishtha Adhikaris, we learn that the Lord is in the deity, and we are trying to realize that, and then trying to understand that the Krishna is a Paramatma in other devotees, which is have to be more advanced to realize that. But we have some understanding of what does it mean to be in the presence of the Lord by being in the temple, because all of us we behave in as the Lord is here. We can understand, but outside the realm of the temple requires more realization to understand that, to realize the presence of the Lord. And some people, even though they just see the deity as a stone, but all these forms of the Lord, like deities, what to speak of Paramatma and expansion, is just a manifestation of the concern of the Lord who is enjoying in Goloka Vrindavan, but still through his different expansions, he's in the material world in so many ways. Like for example, he becomes the Chaturvyuha, he expands Balaram, and then Balaram expands and the Chaturvyuha, Pradyumna, etc. And then from the Chaturvyuha, who are the guardians of the material world, they are the Purusha avatars. There are different avatars who the sense here. Like we have a Garbo Karanara Kasai Vishnu, who is lying, and from him is coming all the universes. He's lying on the ocean. And then in those universes, he enters a Garbo Kasai Vishnu out of concern for the living entities, and he creates Lord Brahma, and then previously he injected all the living entities within the creation, and Brahma creates all the bodies. Then as Sridhara Kasai Vishnu, he enters in every atom and in every living entity, and then he also expands as Aveshas, which are potencies in empowering different living entities as the spiritual masters and living entities who come to do specific missions in all different species of life. And he also expands or shows his potencies through nature, like he explained in Bhagavad Gita, and the light of the sun, etc. In so many ways. So finally, only thing we can understand is that he is everywhere. He's a lot of, he never left the conditioned soul alone. Although he is there in Goloka Vrindavan with all the liberated souls enjoying in an exchange of love. But here he also is with the conditioned soul. He never left the conditioned soul in so many ways. But because the desire of enjoying without Krishna, he gives that forgetfulness that the world appears to be separated from Krishna. It's an illusion. Everything that seems to be away from the Lord is called Maya or illusion. Through that energy, Maya or illusive potency, he allows the living entity to try to attempt to enjoy without being conscious of the presence of Krishna. So this is the one quality of the Lord that has been praised. And this is my limited comprehension of the subject, but he's everywhere, and I was just trying to appreciate that aspect of the Lord that that being aware or not being aware bring different reactions in us. It's a very fundamental knowledge to understand that Krishna is everywhere. Because when applied, have a profound effect in our behavior. The first in rectifying us, us is although as a police, like I think I was showing in one city, many cities of Argentina, they stopped working. They decided to stop working for 3 days because they didn't receive a good salary. So the behavior of people changed radically in those 3 days. They start thinking and rationalizing, okay, there is no police, so nobody is watching us, and I have so many desires, the police is stopping me from getting them. So they start going to the markets, a group of people, and just breaking the windows, entering there and taking whatever they want, as nobody was watching them. And they steal many things, a lot of them, because they had that understanding that nobody was there. The police wasn't there. Previously they were good people, so-called good citizens. But when the police wasn't there, they changed. So in the same way, we can be at least the devotees by that understanding that it's a very basic understanding. There is not much love still there. It's just out of fear, but it's a basic, and it works in the preliminary stages of spiritual life. Finally, most of the people who were stolen in Argentina, they were caught because of false ego. They were posting on Facebook everything they were getting. Like, you did this, and they didn't know that police can get them the other IP address and many things. So they were putting their mask in the picture. They were with masks, covered head. So finally, what to speak of Paramatma if even police can track people in so many ways? So these Paramatma watching us can make us more humble and more aware of whatever, even our thought, everything, and the feelings of loneliness that one may feel. Also, it's an illusion. We can understand everything is I'm alone. Illusion, because Krishna is there. But how to access? That's a process. That's what we're trying to learn, how to access to that, to communicate with Paramatma. So just one thing about Kurma Dev, because this question is about Kurma Dev, regarding what represents. We know the story of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was building, like by 1881, I think, he was building a special place for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas called Bhakti Bhavan. I don't know, it was outside Calcutta, like in the railway, so I think on the way to Puri or something. Do you remember? Well, that place, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was a child still, when they were doing the place, and they were digging, like, to make the foundations of the place, and when they were digging and digging, they found a deity of Kurmadev. And it was very symbolic because it was acting at the foundation of the building, Kurmadev representing, because he was under earth. And in the pastime of Kurma Dev, which is the Lord in the form of a tortoise, he appears because the demigods and the demons are trying to get nectar from the ocean of milk. Every day I'm seeing, just now I was chanting the ocean of milk. It's a question of dimension only. By the way, every day you have an ocean of milk, so there's nothing to be so concerned for a micro or a very small living entity, or a glass of milk is ocean. What to speak of a big pot? Sunday feast making. So anyway, and the Lord doesn't care about good belief or not, because He performs wonderful pastimes, and he has to perform according to our thinking. Nobody will read Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe it's a volume, but the Lord makes a wonderful pastime so we can really enjoy His transcendental activities. So the demons and the devas, they were charming ocean of milk with a mountain. And the mountain was being used with ropes, and the rope was everyone is a personality there. The rope was Vasuki, a special serpent. So they were using, like, charming the ocean of milk. And at one point the mountain was sinking in the ocean, so they started praying to Lord Vishnu. So what should we do now? So Lord Vishnu appeared as a huge tortoise, so very beautiful, because all the incarnations of Vishnu are all attractive. And that huge tortoise was like 800,000 miles. So a thing that we cannot conceive. And that tortoise entered in the ocean of milk and was acting as a pivot. So the mountain was placed on the shell of the tortoise, so they could, it was acting as the foundation. So everything was working well in the channeling of the ocean. So Guru Maharaj also represents that foundation in the spiritual life. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he found the deity of Guru Maharaj, he instructed Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati how to worship that deity. And he gave all the foundation in spiritual life, which is the Pancharatrika Vidhi, the Vaidhi Bhakti. There are rules and regulations for worshiping the deity. And we perform it in conjunction with the most important, which is Bhagavad Marga, the chanting of the holy name. And these two aspects of bhakti make the foundation for our spiritual life. The importance of a foundation can be explained by in a forest, like with roots instead of foundation. We take the roots of the trees. If we go to many forests here in America, they have big trees. And when there is a storm, many trees may fall, especially some trees that are very, especially those who are very tall, huge. And they fall down, and then if you see the roots, they are very small, the roots. They grow up so fast. And there are other trees that are, may not be so huge, but they are growing on underground. They have deep roots. So when there is a storm, they don't fall. But they look very, maybe tiny trees. They grow slowly because they have to develop roots so they can grow up then without the danger of falling down. So in spiritual life also we can grow in two dimensions. It's an external dimension that everyone can see here, and everyone can see, oh, this is a beautiful tree. This devotee is a beautiful tree, is giving so many fruits, etc. But we cannot see the roots. And when there is a big storm, a devotee who may grow only as a tree very fast on the superficial level may find serious difficulties. And however, those who have deep roots that nobody can see except Paramatma or the spiritual master, they will have enough strength to go through many tribulations that are coming because they're part of this material world. So these foundations, all these, the practice of bhakti help us to, especially Now Prabhupada made emphasis in the number of rounds to fulfill our quotas. It's also work as a foundation that with the consciousness that we have when we chant, etc., everything is up to us. I mean, of course, the mercy of the devotees, but we are the only one who's checking our mind when we are chanting. So, this is part of foundations. Okay. Okay, I mean, if there is
thanks a lot for the class, Prabhupada. I had a question in the beginning of the class where you said there are different interpretations of what did these different verses mean. I have a question related to that, not exactly that. I mean, in all the epics, like in all the epics in Puranas, like Mahabharata, Ramayana, and also I think in the Dhritarashtra section of Bhagavatam, it's said that the serious spiritual aspirants, who are not exactly devotees, but who need not be devotees, sometimes devotees also, proceed in the northerly direction. They proceed towards north.
Like the Pandavas?
Yeah, everyone proceeds towards north. The direction is called north.
Okay.
Whereas these days, if you can take a flight to north and we can even with $100 from Nepal, you can basically rotate around Himalayas. At least to the mundane eyes, there is nothing up north. So what are they doing up north? How are they?
Regarding the Himalayas, we understand that not Bhattacharya, he went to north, he went to the Himalayas, but to meet Vyasa, because there are subtle realms in the Himalayas, and there are some sections of scripture which explain that there are living entities, self-realized living entities who are living there, or incarnation of the Lord, like Srila Vyasadeva, and they are still there. The place usually is those places like Himalayas. That's all I know about. I can say there are places where there are special places that we cannot see in the Himalayas, but exist.
So is Kailas also in Himalayas, or I'm just trying to
understand. You refer to Lord Shiva's above?
Yeah.
I was reading that Dr. Kama Prabhu explained that sometimes Prabhupada said Kailash is in the earth, and he said the place, but in another part, Kailash is in a heavenly realm. So it's something, if you want to know more, I can give you the book that has different quotes. I cannot articulate that. But I have here, so the Vedic Cosmography and Astronomy by Richard Thompson, proper disciple. And they did some investigation there, so you can have the book. But there are different, it's not something like it's really like you can just give a statement because there are different quotes.
Thanks, bro.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.